Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, I'm so glad you're here. I really hope that you are enjoying this holiday season, that you are having a very Merry Christmas, and getting ready for a very happy New Year. Whether you're listening to this in real time, which is Christmas week, or you're listening to this later on, I'm just so thankful for you. I'm thankful for your friendship. I'm thankful for this time together, and I'm thankful for the guests that join us here. Today, we have an incredible guest, Abby Turner. Abby is the author of a book that is delicious and delightful called The Living Table, and she is here to talk to us about hosting and being good guests and about gathering friends around the table no matter what season that we're in, because sometimes when we're at our loneliest, it's the best time to invite people in to our season because we need people and we never know what season others are in or what feelings they're experiencing. So I'm excited for you guys to meet Abby and for you to join us for coffee today. So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down with a new friend, Abby Turner. We are talking about fighting loneliness and the fact that we are never alone. No matter what stage of life we are in, like that's one of my big taglines. No matter what stage of life we're in, we are never alone because there's somebody out there going through the same thing as you. We just have to find those people. So Abby, thank you for joining me for coffee.
I'm so excited. I've got my iced coffee here. You know, little interesting fact, I put peppermint mocha creamer in my coffee every single morning throughout the entire year.
Like, how do you get it all year though? Like, do you stock up?
No, it's in the grocery store.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's in the grocery store. And if it's not, there might be a couple of months, like February and March, they tend to like lose stock in some grocery stores. And there is a peppermint syrup that you can just put in with some heavy cream and it's so good.
That sounds really good. Yeah. So you're just a peppermint through and through. You just like peppermint.
And it's a little bit of Christmas every single day. So
I love it. I like that. You seem like that cheery kind of person. You're my kind of gal where it's like just like that happy, cheery, like yeah. We're just going to carry it all year.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know why you wouldn't, right?
It's true. It's true.
If we love Christmas, why do we cram it into 30 days or 25 days? That's 365.
Depends on who you are. I mean, Christmas for some people shows up the day after Thanksgiving or the day after Halloween. Right. We are going to talk about fighting loneliness because gathering, which is what you're all about, gathering fights loneliness from the start. So tell me, how did you start what you do? And I guess tell us what you do.
Yeah. So, you know what? I'll start from kind of the beginning and do a little abbreviated version. I worked in college athletics, and in college athletics, you move around every year. That's kind of just the job. And so I found myself in four or five different states within a number of years. And I was constantly moving. I'm single. I'm still single. And so it was really challenging for me to have to transplant myself every single June, July, and have to reinvent my community, learn who my people were, find my community, whether that was, you know, what organizations to get plugged into, finding a church, finding a Bible study or a community group. And those things can be challenging and it can be intimidating to constantly have to re-find those people or, you know, put yourself out there time and time and time again. And the last city that I was in when I was in college athletics, I was in Birmingham, Alabama. And I remember calling my mom, super close with my mom, called her and said, I'm done. I'm hanging the towel up. I'm moving home. I'm just coming to live with you. And I don't care if I live with you forever. That's what I'm doing. And she said, Abby, you need to invite somebody over and make a meal. And I was like, okay, well, I can't cook. So I'm going to order pizza or tzatziki's or whatever, name that restaurant. And she goes, no, Abby, you need to make it. It means more. At that point, I had a 700 square foot apartment. I was tiny. And I had a little drop leaf table that I pushed up against the wall to save space. And so on a good day, it fit me. And that was it. Like, there was no inviting someone to my table.
Right.
And so I took my mom's advice, invited somebody over, and I made this cheese tortellini. I talk about it in the book. It was awful. If you've ever made tortellini, it has cheese on the inside, so you don't need cheese on the outside. You need like a pesto or an olive oil or marinara sauce, like something else, not cheese. And it was a horrible meal, but she loved it. She went to work the next day and she was talking about it, and everybody was like, why wasn't I invited? And I was like, well, because I don't have a big table. I live in an apartment. It's small. And I just had all of these excuses, right? Because that's what we're good at as humans. We love to make excuses that we're not good enough. That's just our DNA. And so one person turned into two the next week, turned into six, turned into a Bible study of girls that worked in the same area that I did, that had the same schedule as, because when you're working in college athletics, you're working 9 to 5 in the office, and then nights and weekends, you're at games, you're at athletic events. Yeah. And so you have no time for community. So I found people that were in the same stage of life as me, that had the same schedule as me. And it was really good for my soul. I think that that's when the Lord started kind of teaching me the importance of the table, the importance of community. I left college athletics after that year and moved up to Northwest Arkansas, where I am now. And I work for Walmart. That's my day job. And I, you know, really wanted to move up here and plant myself. And so I bought a table that fit six, and I started bringing people over. I think my first big meal was Easter. I have a big family. So missing Easter was a big deal. But I remember inviting a couple people from church, not thinking anyone would come. And I ended up having like 16 in my house at Easter that year. And it was like a lot of people that I made all of this food for. It was so fun. But, you know, I remember the Lord just like pressing on my heart, like, just because you're single doesn't mean that you're alone, doesn't mean that you have to go through life alone. I did not intend for you to go through life alone. Yeah. I heard a pastor say one time that in the Old Testament, the Lord's provision for loneliness was marriage. But in the New Testament, he gives us his spirit in the church. And I really wrestled with that, because I 1,000% want to be married in a family. And I feel like that is God's provision for me. No, it is not church or the community. It is a man. And God really had to kind of soften my heart and say, no, Abby, I brought you the church. I brought you this, my spirit. I left him with you so that he could do life with you every single day, and we can commune, and that's how I want you to live life. And so it really kind of shifted my perspective of what loneliness in singleness looks like, because, I mean, especially look at the last 18 months, I've been in a small apartment all alone, and I could have sat in that and said, I am so lonely. I am so alone. But that's not how God intended us to do life. And that's why community is so important. And so over the course of, I guess, the last 6 or 7 years, the Lord has really said, you know what, I want you to find community. And the best place to find community is around a table. And what I have found is food is just that natural conduit that brings people to the table, so that then the spirit can do his work and he can create that connection there.
Yeah. Okay, man. So I love that your mom was like, first of all, you can't just quit. You have to try a little bit more. And I love that people craved it alongside you. Like, wait, I want to come. No, I want to come. And that just shows that same thing, that we're not alone, where we think I'm the only one experiencing this loneliness, where we think I'm the only one doing or walking through this hard season that I'm in. People are like, man, if you just asked, you'd find out I'm in that same boat. So we're not alone.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love that so much. Go ahead.
No. And I also feel like that can be an excuse that we use to not invite people over. My house is messy. My kids are crazy. My laundry's out. My furniture's broken. Name that thing. I say my furniture's broken because my couch is literally broken right now. That's amazing. But like, bringing people into that, being vulnerable when you bring people in, I think opens it up for more intimacy. I mean, vulnerability breeds vulnerability. And so you bring people into your mess and people are like, oh, I tell this story of like, when my kitchen sink is full of dirty dishes, people don't ever ask for a coaster. But when my house is so clean, the people, they always ask, Abby, do you have a coaster? Do I need to put a coaster on this? It's like, why do you act like, well, because they walked into a quote unquote museum. Right. And I'm using air quotes because perfection is not attainable. And when we try to present perfection, it's like, it's unapproachable. It's not authentic. And when we bring our authentic selves into something, that's where true intimacy lies.
So we recently moved churches. We're at a really sweet, like good, solid church plant now. And I didn't want to move to a church plant because I like the big church because I don't have to do a lot at the big church, right? Like I get to be just go hang out at the big church. And now our pastors are friends of ours and they said, hey, would you guys lead a life group? And they're going to meet at your house, all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, sure, totally. And those insecurities immediately. My husband loves to host. I like to host when people are finally there, but the preparation of hosting stresses me out because I see those windows don't have blinds up. Oh my gosh, that picture's so old. Oh my gosh, our floors are so scuffed up. Like I see everything wrong with it, everything. So I get super insecure. Well, we were like, okay, we're going to host this community group. We're going to come into it super raw, super vulnerable, just show up. We had a nice charcuterie board the first week and I said, hey, I'll feed y'all this week, but next week I'm not doing it. I immediately dropped that bar. This is show up this week and we're here. Yeah. We're going to love you guys. You're going to love on us. This is great. The next week they showed up. My husband was redoing our kitchen cabinets. So all of our doors are off the cabinets. So it's like you're walking.
Yeah.
They showed up. I'm like, y'all, it looks like we're walking around with our bra off because you can see everything in my cupboards now. Like, this is awful. This is so exposing. And so it was just like, we immediately just like dropped that facade of like, show up and just be here. We just want you to be here. And we want to be here. Like, we just want to be together because when we finally like remove that like facade or mask or whatever like that and show up with that vulnerability, then people will show up with that vulnerability. Like you're right. Vulnerability breeds vulnerability. And I think that for us, it was somebody said like, can we come to your small group? I was like, yeah, for sure. Come on in. Like, we're always accepting all the stuff, but just know like, here's your standard. You probably just need to drop that a little bit because we just show up. Like, we're just here.
I ask often on my Instagram to my followers, like, why don't you invite people over? And a lot of the times it's because why would anybody want to come to my house? I think I live too far out. Nobody wants. But when you make the step and when you say, okay, I am going to invite somebody over, it's almost like if you are thinking it, I guarantee you there are multiple people thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
That nobody wants to hang out with me, or nobody's in the same stage of life as me, or my house is a wreck. And when we take that, when we remove that and we are vulnerable and ask people to come, most likely they're thinking the same thing. Man, I'm so glad she asked me because I've been looking for friends. I've been looking for community. We are people that are bred. I mean, the Lord put it in our DNA to be with other people. And so when people ask us, oh, do you want to come over? Would you like to eat dinner with me? Would you like to grab a cup of coffee? That something happens in our brain that goes, oh, I am. What do you say? I'm known. I'm seen. Yes, I'm not. I'm not alone. Like, I love, because that's how God created our brain. I'm not a neuroscientist, but I know that that's how God created our brains.
Well, it's all in that belonging factor. Like, all of that shows that we belong somewhere. Then that's why people flock to gyms that have the community memberships, like that, like the group fitness, and that's why you see the CrossFit cults, you know, quote unquote cults. And like, that's why, it's because there's this belonging. We all long to belong. And one thing we all have to do is eat. So why not sit at a table, belong there, and eat together?
Right. Right. And I love that a lot of restaurants in bigger cities, so San Francisco, Chicago, New York, probably Dallas and Atlanta, but not in Northwest Arkansas, not in my small little town, but in these bigger towns, there are restaurants that are now having community tables. Mm-hmm. No longer are they putting all of these bars and all of these like two tops in the, for you to sit out alone. People are literally walking in and sitting at a table that has 14 seats at it, and they're sitting next to a stranger, and they might be sitting alone, but they're surrounded by strangers. But it's this mentality of, I'm not eating alone. I'm sitting with other people. There's this yeah. openness when you sit at a table that makes it feel like, oh, I'm with other people. I'm not yeah. alone.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by...
I want to break in real quick to tell you about something I have personally been loving. Lately, the first thing I've been doing is rolling over in the morning, grabbing my phone, and checking social media. I've noticed that I've been more stressed out and just anxious and late to start my day, to be totally honest. So I wanted you to try what I have tried. Roll over and open your Abide app. Start your day in the spirit and with the peace of Christ. Or if you have trouble falling asleep, find rest as you listen to bedtime stories by Abide. Doze off peacefully as you meditate on God's word. For a limited time, our listeners and friends will get 25% off a premium subscription when you visit abide.co/coffee. Abide's meditations start at 2 minutes long, they're easy to fit into any schedule, and they feature topics like overcoming anxiety, managing stress, addiction, recovery, finding forgiveness, and so much more. Get started with 25% off a premium subscription by downloading the Abide app at abide.co/coffee, and you'll get additional stories, meditations, premium music, soothing sounds, and more. Show It's Time for Coffee support and get 25% off by going to abide.co/coffee. That's abide, A-B-I-D-E .co/coffee to download the Abide Coffee app and get 25% off your premium subscription. I promise you'll love it. Okay, back to today's show. Tell me why you named your book The Living Table. So like, what is The Living Table?
Yeah, so, you know, I have such a passion for the table. There's so much goodness in scripture around the table. And I could probably talk hours and days and months and years about how awesome the table is.
You could almost write a book about it.
Yeah, right? but the table, I do not believe should just be a piece of furniture, like a flat, stagnant, dead piece of furniture. It should be this like living, life-breathing vessel that we use day in and day out to bring people into our lives, to bring people to Christ. I think I write in the book, there's a line that I wrote that said, an invitation to dinner might just be someone's invitation to heaven. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is so true. Like, you don't ever know where someone is or what they need, but the Spirit does. And I think that there's so much goodness around what, if you look at when Paul says we're to be imitators of Christ and you look at how Jesus did his ministry, Jesus did the majority of his ministry around a table, a lot yeah. of times around food. And if we are to imitate him, why would we not go to where he went? He was at the table. He invited himself into people's homes. He invited people to eat with him. And so I think that when we imitate that behavior, the Spirit, we're in essence inviting the Spirit into that moment, and that table now becomes life-giving. It now becomes this vessel that we're using to encourage, to build up, to edify, to connect. And I think that there is, you know, when we come to the table, we can come and we can be happy and joyful and great, but we can also be broken. And when we come to the table, there's kind of like a life-giving or a healing that happens there because the Spirit is there, because that's where God, like, look at Revelation. God doesn't say, hey, come play kickball with me in the yard in heaven. He says, come and eat dinner with me at the table in mm-hmm. heaven. I've prepared yeah. the table. I want you to sit and dine with me. And so why would we not sit and dine with him every single day?
Yeah. I love that. That's, and it just like, I am just in awe of like even thinking about our newer community group where we sit at the table, where it's like the table gets moved out and like more chairs are added. And it's just like, but it's all around that table. Like it's all around whether there's food or not, like it's all right there. And I think, I mean, growing up the way we did dinner at the table every single night.
Yeah.
And we do dinner at our table. We have like a counter. Our family eats at the counter. But it is that same thing. It's gathering, it's breaking bread, and it's communing. Like it's literally doing life together. And that's exactly what Jesus did. You're right. That's just so beautiful. You have 5 tips for hosting. So if we're afraid to host, or if we're ashamed to host, or nervous, anything, what are these 5 tips for hosting that you can give us?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, when you are hosting somebody, I think the first thing you have to do is clean off your table.
Yeah.
Everybody's always telling, like asking me like, oh, what's the first thing I need to know about hosting? Clean off your table. Because most likely at your table right now, you have your laundry, you have bills, maybe your purse, you have things that are on your table that are not the bread plate, the chalice, the silverware, you know, what goes on the table. The next thing, I think we've got to be prepared to be open to opening our door. If we are not in a posture of obedience of opening our door, then we are missing out on an opportunity for the Lord to use us. That can be, I think when you look at the difference between hospitality and hosting, there's a kind of a heart difference there with, hosting. It's an impression. There's a kind of a pride element with it. Now I use the words interchangeable because I think that hospitality kind of gets a bad rap in the church of like, oh, that's a spiritual gift, when I actually believe it's a spiritual discipline. I mean, it is a spiritual gift, but I think that there's another aspect of it that it's a discipline that we need to cultivate and we need to continue to work on to draw us closer to the character of who God is. But when we are hospitable, we're not only inviting our friends and our family in, we're inviting the new people, we're inviting the strangers in. Now, I'm not saying go and pick someone up off the side of the road, but people
be
that
safe,
don't
be smart.
Be safe and be smart. But I think that there's also an aspect of, you know, invite people that don't look or think like you. You know, that you can only learn in that space. I also give some really practical tips in the hosting handbook in the book about like always have your pantry stocked. Make sure you know what your staples are. I always have a can of crescent rolls because you can literally do anything with them. You can make pizza, you can make cinnamon rolls, you can just have them with bread and top them off with some garlic powder and some salt and pepper, and they like turn into garlic knots. You know, like you can literally do anything with crescent rolls. Figure out what your staples are. I always have frozen veggies. I always have a couple of cans of cream of mushroom or cream of chicken soup so I can make like a pot pie, because you can put crescent rolls and that can be the top tier to your chicken pot pie.
So smart.
So all of these things, like make sure your pantry is always stocked. I think that just gives you the kind of the confidence of like, I know what I have and I know what I like to make. The cookbook is full. My cookbook is full of really quick and really easy recipes that you can just have and make on a moment's notice. The majority of them are 30 minutes or less. They are really quick cleanup, because I want to kind of begin to get people to think about hosting not as like a Martha Stewart affair of like, oh, everything has to be cooked 3 and 4 hours and I need to prep the night before and it has to be plated perfectly. But that it can happen in a moment. I think that it's the moment. Yes, anniversaries, holidays, busy birthday, you know, like those big moments are so important, and we can celebrate each other and we can love each other through those moments. But I think it's the small moments, what I like to call the micro moments of life, where connection, true connection forms. Yeah. Hearts are knitted together. I also give a practical tip about when you look at my Instagram feed, you see a lot of beautifully curated food. It looks almost perfect. And that is not how my food looks on a daily basis. I do something called the Sunday Supper Club, which is an Instagram live on Sunday nights. And a lot of times the picture that goes with the Instagram video is perfect. I have worked hard on that image. I food styled it. I have used a camera. It is not like real life. But I always show in the Instagram live, like, this is actually what the meal looks like. When I go to eat it, this is what it looks like. And so when you look at my Instagram feed, couple things you're going to notice. You're going to notice that it's always on white. White helps food pop. So if you have a colorful plate, love colorful plates. I have green and yellow plates on my table right now that have lemons and leaves, and they're so cute. But the food will not pop on that plate like it would pop on a white plate. So, you know, just some practical tips to hosting that, like, man, I never knew that like a Corel plate could be the solve to like everything. And it's like,
well, yeah. And you're doing that for, I mean, like, this is part of what you do when it's time to host, it's pull out those plates and dish up some food. Like, if, unless you want a really nice picture for your Instagram, that's fine. But like,
yeah, it's not real life. Up.
Just do it.
Yep. Yep. So always have your food set.
Yes. Yes. One of our big, one of my big prayers this past year has been that our place, our home, I have like my prayer journal out because I was like doing stuff before we got on the call, and said that our home will be a place of joy, a safe place to land, a place of wise decisions. And then I have Romans 14:19 that says, so let us pursue what promotes peace and what builds up one another. And then Psalm 61:2-4 said, lead me to the rock that is high above me, for you have been my refuge and a strong tower. In the face of my enemy, I will dwell your tent. And I will dwell in your tent and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. And that's our prayer for our home, is that it will just be like a safe refuge for people. But if I'm praying that, then I have to invite people in. And that has been the heart switch lately, where it's been like, can the youth group meet at your house? And it's like, yeah. And you know what? Those youth group, they don't care. They don't care that the toilet's dirty. They don't care at all. No. And I have like, I stash food aside for them. And then our community group, it's just, If I'm going to pray that for our home, that it'll be a place of joy, a safe place to land where wise decisions are made, then we have to be gathering there.
Yeah. And community is a part of life. We have, yes. I mean, if you look at Acts at the first church, they worshiped, they prayed, and they ate together. If you are not eating with your community, then you are missing like a part of that very important foundation of what the Lord wanted church and what our community to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love your tips for hosting. How can we show up well as guests?
Yeah, you know what? I think that one of the things that I love when going to someone's house is just always show up and be gracious, but also really impress upon the host that, like, hey, let me bring something. As the host, make it a potluck. I mean, feeding the 5,000, Jesus had a potluck. He taught us how to potluck. And so let it be, let people bring food or drinks, or like encourage that, because when somebody is invested in coming and they bring something, then they're more a part of that. I think when you show up and you're gracious and you appreciate that, I think that there's also, you know, as a host, it's not about being, you know, it's not about the presentation. It's not about the perfection. It's about the people. In the same way, I love that a lot of times when people are showing up, I'm like finishing the final prep. I'm like putting it on the table or putting it in a bowl or something, or I'm dishing up drinks or whatnot. And I love that at the very beginning of the night or of the event or the dinner or whatever, that my friends are just kind of all mingling. I miss out on that mingling as the person that is hosting everyone. I kind of like assume that Martha position. Yeah. But at the end of the night, when we're all done eating and my friends get up and they do the dishes or they help clean up, my friends all know I have storage container, like meal prep containers, that I do not like leftovers. So food always leaves my house. Like I do not keep leftovers. And so they know that. They know where my containers are and they always dish up all the food and we are like passing it out like candy. But I love that because then I get to assume the position of Mary and I get to be with my people. And so I think that there's an important dichotomy of like, we have to be Martha because we have to prepare. But we also have to be with our people, and we need to assume the Mary position too. And I think as guests, if you can identify those moments where your host or where the person that is serving you is the Martha, will also help them be the Mary. Create that environment where they can also be with the people.
Well, and that gives rest in that too, where it's not like, oh, I have to do this all again. And that will make you want to do it again and again and again.
Yeah.
I love that. What is something that God really spoke to you or taught you as you wrote this book?
You know, I think the hardest part, and I'm going to be really transparent, I talk a lot in the book about my singleness. And I don't know that I had looked at it or had sat with it the way that I sit with it in this book, in a place of contentment. I have been content in single. I mean, you kind of have to be when you're single at 32. But I think that there was a turning point at which kind of like my heart just kind of like the light bulb went on, and it was like, man, community is where it's at. So yes, I desire to be married and have kids and whatever, but there is something so beautiful about using this time. And it's kind of like the difference between being alone and being isolated and being alone and being in solitude. And that it's a mindset shift, right? When you are isolated, it takes you like allow Satan to just kind of captivate your thoughts. And when you're in solitude, you allow the Lord to step into that aloneness. And I was able to kind of differentiate that while writing the book of like, man, when I'm alone, it's not isolating. I'm alone with the Lord. I'm getting to spend this time with the Lord and not to take that time for granted, but to appreciate that time, to let him, love on me, to let, just kind of like looking at the Lord in a different way. Mm-hmm. Instead of him being, this big and strong, mighty God, he is my friend. He's walking through this with me two steps ahead. And, to be able to identify that, to have that mindset shift. It was a really, cool outcome of the book, of writing a cookbook, I guess, but I wasn't expecting when I first started.
I love that. I love that. And I do, like, it is a cookbook, but it's so much more than a cookbook, because it's a call to host. It's a call to gather. It's a call to show up. And I think that some of my favorite cookbooks are that way, where it's like, learn how to cook, like do this well, because you can do it. And I think that you're doing that same thing. Like, you can do this, you can gather, you just have to do it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that we're coming out of a time where we haven't exercised this muscle. I love that, the book was supposed to come out last fall, and then it got pushed to February, and then it was March, and then it finally came out in April. And I was like, Lord, is it ever going to come out? Is it on one of the cargo ships where the containers are at the bottom of the ocean? Like, is it coming? And the Lord just kind of reminded me, like, it is in my timing that this is going to happen. And I am preparing people's hearts and minds for this, and I'm getting them ready. And then the book comes out, then everything starts opening up, then people want to exercise this muscle of hosting. And it's like, what a perfect time. Not that my words are perfect, but that the Lord is using this tool. And my prayer throughout writing the book was that this book would be dog-eared, that it would have ingredients spilled all over it, that people would use this as not just a cookbook for a big event, but they would use it every single day. I had someone DM'd me over the holiday weekend, and they're like, I made this and this and this, and I just asked everybody for their opinion, and it was just so fun. And they got to learn how a lot of my recipes are, hey, add salt if you want salt in it, or you can add more sauce if you want more sauce. And so it's really teaching you how to tweak recipes and how that kind of all works. Mm-hmm. And so it was fun to kind of hear people give feedback and say, I learned how to make this, and it's so easy. I could totally do this with chicken, or I could do this with, beef. And it's just, I love hearing that people are using this as a guide, because in a cultural moment, in a time where Instagram and Pinterest have just told us that perfection is key, and if you have not achieved perfection, then you are failing. Literally, Pinterest fail. Then, like, And like, that's not a positive mentality. That is not something that we want to attain or strive to be. And Martha Stewart or Rachel Ray, or like, they are all incredible hostesses, incredible chefs in the kitchen. I'm not a chef. I'm not trained at a culinary institute. I am not a cook by any means. I am your best friend sharing some fun recipes that I have learned, shortcuts to, that bring people to the table in a really quick and easy way. And I want to share those with people. So I'm like so excited that people are loving the cookbook, and even more excited that people are gathering with other people.
Yeah. I agree. I just think that we just need to be gathering. Like, we missed it, and we missed each other, and we need to sit down and do it again. I opened the book because I have to tell you, my daughter and I made the chicken bacon ranch pull apart sandwiches. Okay, my mouth is watering just even thinking about them. They were so good. And I love the popcorn. Like, you have a popcorn bar. Like, it's the simplest stuff, you guys. It's the simplest stuff that just shows us that we can do this. We did the popcorn bar in our camper. Like,
I love it.
It's so fun. So, to close out every episode, I ask, because we believe that there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. Right now, it's time for coffee. But what is it time for in your own life right now?
Yeah, you know, you were reading the scripture that you have prayed over, you know, your year. And I'd love to share my scripture. Please. And it's written on my wall, but it's 1 Peter 5:6-10. And it says, "So humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Then at the right time, he'll lift you up, casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So be sober and stay alert, because the devil is a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You're not the only one suffering through hard times, and the suffering won't last forever. After your season of suffering," I love this, "God in all his grace will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." And, you know, no matter what season you're walking through, it's that God will confirm, he will restore, he will strengthen, and he will encourage you. And that is an absolute. Like, God, he sees what you're walking through. He wants you to cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Yeah. And I just, that picture of like the Lord walking two steps ahead of me. He is right there holding my hand. And when I need him to turn around and just embrace me because it's a hard moment or it's an exciting moment, like, the Lord wants to be there and to be that person for me. And so that is my time. I love that, you know, those last four words: restore, confirm, strengthen, and encourage you. So,
isn't he so sweet to do that? Like, it's just like, he could be a God that's like, keep going, you're fine. Like, I know what's going on. I know what's ahead. But instead, he's like, keep going, man. Yeah. You're doing a great job. Like, I'm just right here. Like, don't quit. Don't stop. Like, come on. Like, he's such a sweet father.
And in my time in sports, my history in sports, like, I have viewed God very much as a coach and as a buck up, buttercup, let's go, get back in the game. Yeah. I need you working hard. I need you sprinting, or whatever that phrase is that he says. And it has only been in these last couple of years that the Lord has really turned and said, no, I want to embrace you. I want to be your good father. I want to, you know, encourage you and affirm you and establish you and restore you. And I just love that picture of Same. God.
Same. Okay, Abby, where can we find you, follow you, become your best friend? Because we need you in our lives.
Yeah, I'm over on Instagram and Pinterest and Facebook, all at A Tabletop Affair. So A Tabletop Affair. And I have a website, atabletopaffair.com. You can subscribe to my newsletter. I send out weekly newsletters just about food and recipes and devotions and just all the inspirational content. And then I do Sunday Supper Club on Sunday night around 9 p.m. Central Time. It's always fluctuating whether I come on at 8:30 or 9:30 or whatever, but it's always on Instagram TV. So you can check that out there if you miss it, but it is a fun, like, 20 minutes and I make a dish and it's really fun.
That sounds like fun. I love that. Abby, thank you so much for joining us for coffee. Thank you for inviting us to the table and reminding us why we need the table.
It has been such a blast to chat with you. And I'm glad I'm almost done with my little peppermint mocha iced coffee.
Look at that. We had coffee. Okay, like I always say, I hope you enjoyed meeting Abby today. I hope that as we go into the new year, you will open up your table more and more. like I said in this conversation, this is a big goal of mine this year, was to make our home a safe place for others. And I've been so, so thankful and blessed because we've been able to do that. We're going to keep on hosting. We're going to keep on opening those doors and having people sit around our table because it has changed the way we see and get to interact with our community. So hold me to it because we're going to keep doing that this year. I don't know if you pay much attention to the numbers that show up on this podcast, but guys, next week is episode 200. It makes me emotional, which I know isn't saying a ton, but it makes me emotional to even think about having 200 plus, honestly, there's more than 200, but 200 episodes out. Next week, I hope you'll join me for coffee as we go over some of our favorites, our highs and our lows, and the shows that meant the most to us. And by us, I mean you and me. This is all about us having coffee together. So I'm excited to just sit down. You and me, we're going to have a cup of coffee together, and we are going to go over the 200 episodes of It's Time for Coffee. I'm so, so excited about it. There's also going to be a bonus episode that week because the conversation I had with my friend Jennifer Taylor Wagner comes out, and I just cannot wait to talk about our good bodies. So be on the lookout for episode 200 and then episode 201 that will come out the same day. Okay, I hope you have a great day. I hope you have a great week. Merry Christmas, and I will see you next week when it's time for coffee. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.